If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Unlocked. It's another week of Xbox goodness here at IGN. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined by the guesting Mark Medina. Good to see you.
Destin's gone.
Alana Pierce.
Greets.
Marty Sliva. Whoa. Coming up on the show this week, a few interesting news items to talk about. The big one is Xbox moving their E3 press conference to a different time and day entirely. So we'll talk about the ramifications of that and what that means within the context of E3. Plus, we got to play a couple of big upcoming spring releases, those being Prey and Mass Effect Andromeda. So stay tuned for that and more. Let's start, friendos, with Prey, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got to play Prey.
You got to play Prey.
I got to play a bunch of Prey. You're going to play next week.
Yeah, well, Alana and I are going to play.
Or 2 weeks from now, whatever week it is.
In Boston.
I don't know. Oh, we're playing Prey next week. Ooh, I'm excited.
She's like, oh.
Excellent. But yeah, this is a great day.
You know, Before I give you kind of my impressions, I'm curious, because all we've seen up until this hands-on event I got to go to was just the trailers, the E3 reveal, and then a couple of gameplay trailer beats along the way.
Becoming an object.
Yes. So what have your guys' takes been on Prey so far, just from what they've shown us?
I want it.
You could be a boy or a girl. You can possess cups, and there are zero vagina/butthole doors.
Yeah, that's true.
That I know of.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to follow that up.
Yeah,
no, it just looks really cool. I'm worried. I'm not great at stealth games, so I'm worried about how much of the stealth aspect is going to be like becoming objects, and it's like, hey, that wasn't there before, and that whole thing, like the new like Resident Evil DLC, got me really hard. But it looks really fun. Yeah.
So it's not a stealth game. You can kind of try to play it in a stealthy way, but. The vibe I had been getting from all those trailers was pretty Bioshocky. Even the art direction seemed that kind of Art Deco Bioshock type art direction. And there are elements of that, but I was very, very happy when I got into the game. I played the first hour. It's a straight sort of spiritual successor to System Shock 2, which is Ken Levine's game before Bioshock.
Mm-hmm.
One of, I think, the 10 or 20 greatest games of all time.
In terms of gameplay or in terms of narrative, in terms of atmosphere?
Everything, but okay. I mean, it is a bad things happening on a space station game, so it's got that thematic equivalent, but just the way it plays and feels.
Okay.
You know, Bioshock is Rapture, and there are a lot of quiet moments, and you sort of have your powers and you can wander around.
Yep.
And there is that freedom, that element of freedom with the movement here, but where it feels more System Shocky is there's an inventory system. There's more of a role playing feel to it, like kind of that emergent Deus Ex type of gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bioshock's a little bit more down the shooter path.
I guess it didn't really have an inventory, huh? I never really thought about that. Bioshock didn't have a whole lot of inventory management. It was just a lot of unlocks, and you would use everything really quickly.
In Prey, you can collect stuff and use it as resources to make other things. And
are there side quests?
Yes, there are definitely plenty of things to do.
So to piggyback to piggyback off that, is it an open world like BioShock, where BioShock was like kind of
it isn't similar in that sense, where it opens up into larger areas, like
it kind of like careens you to go certain ways
at times. I mean, there you'll have your main objective, but there are these huge open areas to go. Like if you want to go try and break into somebody's office, there's four different ways to do that. Or if you just want to make a beeline for whatever your primary objective is, you can go try to do that.
Like Dishonored,
definitely. It's an arcane game.
Arcane Austin, not Arcane Leon, but I'm sure both studios worked on both games.
Right.
And which Arcane does come from the same lineage as System Shock. The roots of the same family tree.
I talked to Ricardo, I believe it's pronounced Barre, B-E-R-E. I talked to him afterwards. He's the lead designer. And he mentioned that their team has BioShock veterans on it, Deus Ex veterans on it, System Shock 2 veterans on it. So the lineage is all there. Yeah. And the point is, like, for me, I know Marty, you and I were talking about this just in the office, that I am so happy to be really, really enthusiastic about this game after the first hour, because I want it to be great because it's a single player focused first person game. And I want more of those. Yeah. So I want this to be good, and then I want it to be successful if it's good, so that we keep getting them.
Yeah. Hashtag Dishonored 2 Game of the Year again.
I don't think the vote's closed. You can do that twice.
But it did well.
Does Prey have any multiplayer aspects to it at all?
Nope, no multiplayer.
Single player. Yeah, yep. I mean, Bethesda's been good at that. I mean, Doom had multiplayer that no one, snack maps or whatever they were called. Between Wolfenstein and Doom and Dishonored, we're getting good campaigns
out of them. That's true.
Is there any reason, I guess, without going into narrative spoilers, that this game is called Prey, not anything else?
I went ahead and asked him afterwards in our interview, which it's up on IGN in video form. And I expected a total PR answer, and I was surprised to get what I thought was a pretty refreshingly honest answer. Ricardo literally told me, well, Bethesda owns that IP, and it's really hard to name games and the sort of name fit with what they were doing. So the fact that the publisher owned the name and they weren't doing anything with it, and they wouldn't have to go through all the trademark and IP junk, which apparently can be a huge hassle when you're trying to name a game.
Wow.
They just took it. So I thought that was a fairly refreshing answer of it was there and
it was easy.
It was easy and it fit so why not?
It's not like Prey has a lot of brand power behind it.
Exactly.
Like, it was an early 360 game that some of us hold somewhat fondly.
It was
because
very
there
was good.
Nothing else to play.
But you're right. It's not like that was a huge monster hit in 2006 or 2007 that suddenly this game is treading all over just by virtue of stealing its name.
So from what you've played, is this game going to hit? Is it going to be a hit?
I mean, you just never know with these things, right? Like the first hour, good start. You know, hopefully the rest of the game, and Arcane's pedigree certainly gives a little bit of confidence.
But you are looking forward to it.
I'm very looking forward to it. And I mean, if it again, we've talked about it before, Bethesda is the one publisher that seems to be absolutely doubling down on single player narrative driven first person,
which is
shooters.
Great because the single player narrative driven games are pretty
really
much
good.
All great.
Good. Yeah,
like they have very good games. It would suck
if
we had
got a good track record.
Yeah, but I did also want to ask, how is or is it is Prey more like BioShock than it is like Dishonored, and how? I'm expecting it to be really similar to Dishonored.
Yeah, I mean it would probably lean a little bit more in the Dishonored direction. But again, for me, having Dishonored, for whatever reason, you and I have talked about this, it just never quite hooked me, even though it totally should have. It's the exact
kind
of game.
The first one, the second one rules.
But I haven't gotten to the second one.
Play
but System Shock 2, all time favorite of mine, and it just took me right back to System Shock 2 in the very best of ways. So.
I wish they'd release that. Just downloadable for consoles, let people play.
That would be great. The System Shock 1 is getting a remaster, but I think it's only for PC. I believe that was a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So that's happening. And then there is Warren Spector himself is working on System Shock 3 with some of the other original team members. And I believe it's Other Side Entertainment, I think is the name of the developer. And again, that's, I think, just PC for now. But System Shock 2, I think it's on GOG.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, for console, you can't. You know, there's
Guardians
no way to
the Galaxy.
Different GOG.
Oh, dang.
Sorry, Marty.
Dog.
No, so anyway. I played System Shock 1 for PC. I loved it. Yeah. So if Prey is anything akin to that, I'm super excited.
So yeah, putting in a good word for System Shock 2 for Prey. And if you want to hear more about it and see more footage, there is plenty of that on IGN.com. I worked really hard website. On it. Yeah, it's a website some people like to go to sometimes.
Sometimes.
So let's move on to a game you got to play, Alana, that no one in the public, no one in the media, anybody else has had gotten a shot at. They've been keeping it real close to the vest, and that is
Mass Effect Andromeda.
All
right, so I'm going to go. See you guys.
We played about...
This will be a spoiler-free discussion, to be clear.
Yeah, absolutely, and I have a full preview that I tried to detail pretty much everything we encountered that went up this morning that doesn't contain any story or character spoilers whatsoever. I completely kept them out. I tried to not even talk about the narrative.
And I've edited your preview, and I can assure you, she's being accurate, spoiler free.
Yeah, I just talk about mechanics for the most part. But yeah,
to be clear, I was going to leave because I just don't know anything about Mass Effect. I've never played any of them.
By virtue of
you're a terrible Destin replacement.
Yeah, who are you?
I know. I'm like the opposite. I'm the anti-Destin.
You should have absorbed at least something just from sitting so.
I played the first like 20 or 30 minutes and I was like, I can't do this.
Mass Effect 1 rules.
Oh, so good.
See, but everybody says it's like not good.
So just
play the second one. I mean, you guys did your show. You liked it.
Yeah,
right?
we're almost finished with the first one for the first time, and I like it a lot.
But we are playing it on easy because the combat is not great. Everything else is still fantastic.
Yeah, everyone just says, oh, just start with the second one. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. That's what they told me to do for Terminator 2, Ryan, and I couldn't even make
anyway,
it
our audience is like, please talk about Andromeda now. Stop talking about this.
No.
So a group of us went to EA in Redwood the other day, played three or four hours of Mass Effect Andromeda, starting from the very start of the game, and then there was a chunk where they sort of skipped us ahead so that we could see some of the kind of chip-based stuff that we're familiar with. So it starts out, not going to talk about the narrative at all. You get to a planet. You get to a planet, and it's very, very pretty. You shoot things on this planet. So the combat is actually really great. It's currently automatic cover-based in that you don't have to press any buttons to get behind cover. As you are behind cover, it just locks you into it. There are good and bad parts about that. Sometimes it's a little glitchy and it does things that you don't want it to. But for the most part, that is what you are doing when you are shooting, is getting behind cover and using your jetpack, which you can use to strafe left to right, which is super fun, great for dodging things. And
how does
also,
the pop-out system work if it's automatic cover? Does it like
you just pull
do
the
you
left
just
trigger,
pull the left yeah. trigger and your guy just pops out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, left trigger and right trigger. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's been my not I want to say concern, but a thing that as a big fan of the series, watching the few bits we've seen so far up till now, I've kind of been like, is that jump jet thing gonna kind of just not ruin combat, but just make it weird? So how does it feel?
It feels like overall Mass Effect Andromeda feels very different to the other Mass Effect games, I think. And I, like, full disclosure, am scared of saying negative things about it because I know how passionate people are about this. But it feels a little more bro-y than I think previous games did. And then it feels a little more like a cover-based bro shooter than it does like what I know of Mass Effect.
Lean more towards like Gears of War?
And to be fair, I mean, it's the series has been going that way ever since from the first one to the second one. And by the time they got to Mass Effect 3, I would say it felt very Gears of War.
It's a thermal shooter.
And I mean, there's a lot of conversation in like while you're exploring and during dialogue. And some of that is just jokes, which is not bad stuff, but it's stuff that I'm not used to yet in Mass Effect. So it you definitely feel like you are part of a squad and you are part of a team and you're working towards something together, which is really cool. But to specifically answer your question, the combat totally feels different, but I don't think the jetpack ruins anything.
Good. That's all I need to hear.
Yeah, and it's really fun to use for traversal.
You know, I'm a typical human being. I fear change.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Wait, is it just a horizontal traversal thing, or does it also propel you upwards?
Both. Okay. Yeah, so there's also things that you can... There's a ton of crafting, and you can actually unlock certain augmentations for weapons that will let you do extra damage if you're hovering. So the different things you can do with the jetpack are you can strafe side to side. If you run and jump, it'll push you further, which is pretty standard. You can also hover in the air for a small period of time. And the environment of the first world that you go to is really diverse, and there's different ways you can get everywhere. One of them is sort of by, we saw them in the trailers, those kind of weird pillar things. You can basically do some simple platforming on those, or you can just walk on the ground around. So there are lots of different ways to approach things. And I think for the most part, the jetpack is just super fun.
Good. That's great.
Yeah. It's like really floaty. It feels good.
I mean, we're going to be using it for 40 hours. So yeah. I sure hope it's fun.
Well, there is an environment later in the game that kind of reminds me of Hong Kong. It's really, really dense and packed, and there's markets everywhere. There's really cool bars. There was a club that I went to that was playing trap music, which was like really unexpected. But
Fetty Wap, 2017.
No Fetty Wap.
Ah, dang.
You couldn't jetpack around in that environment.
Okay.
So I think it's specific to places that you are trying to explore,
right?
Which is obviously part of your duty as the Pathfinder. So it is really fun. And like I said, the sound design is one of the things that I was the most impressed by overall. This game sounds incredible. And I think it does a really good job of making you feel like you are on different planets because everything sounds distinct.
That's cool.
Even the jetpack sounds awesome. When a ship flies over you, it sounds awesome. It's just so bassy. And I feel like they put a ton of resources into that.
You can feel the 5+ years of development put into it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, that's a real thing.
Yeah,
Mark.
No.
There's some games where it's, you know, okay, fine. I'm gonna make some people mad, but like ReCore is a game that like there's cool concepts there, but you can tell that that game did not have 5 years of development into
it.
The production values are just not as high. So that's what I mean.
I think Mass Effect feels, I mean, I would say incredibly well thought out.
How does it look like graphically?
So the environments look good. Mm-hmm. I'm a little off put by the characters' faces, human specifically.
Did you choose male or female rider, Scott or Sarah?
Sarah at the start and then Scott at the end. So I played as both intentionally.
Nice.
And they just look a little bit off. I wrote in my preview, I think they kind of look like Sims 3 era Sims. Mm. They sort of just, something about their eyes is a little bit off. Their eyelashes are incredibly thick and just obviously like stuck to their face. Some weird facial animations. So they don't look great, but it could just be that I've been playing so many freaking beautiful games lately that like it's a really big game, and I know there's a lot of things that they have put time and effort into. Like the ship looks awesome as well. The map looks crazy pretty. Like just looking around the map, if you go past something that has a black hole, all of the light actually shifts around it.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Just that map alone is gorgeous. And yeah, there's a ton of variety of planets and different things to do on them. There are things called anomalies, which basically means that there is something on a planet that is you can interact.
Right, you got to go mine it, or
you can mine
or
it. You can do that without
there,
even
right?
landing on it. Yeah. There are missions where you can get it on foot, or things where you can use the Nomad, which, by the way, I really like.
Oh, but you really like the Mako too.
That is true. Yeah, I like vehicles.
I like the Mako too, Marty.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, deal with it.
Turns out half of this table can be wrong.
Question about
how do you feel about the Mako?
You know. I'm indifferent.
Your future on this show depends on it.
Indifference does not count as one for you.
What would Destin say?
Destin would say it's perfect, and I played as a guy.
That, yeah, yeah. Sums it up.
Yeah.
As someone who's never played
a boy Mako.
And I know you didn't want to talk about like narrative too much, so we can keep this as a simple yes or no. Can I play Andromeda and enjoy it?
Yep.
Okay.
You don't need any prior knowledge of Mass Effect. I think it will help in that, you know, there'll be alien races that you recognize and you'll understand the lore a little bit better, but I absolutely, from what I played, do not think that you need to.
Because this game actually does look cool, but I'm just like, so like, just don't know anything about the series.
Totally,
so.
You'll and totally be fine.
You know, you were talking about the look of it and how, you know, the different planets and how varied it is.
Also, the aliens look good. It's just the humans that look a little bit.
Interesting. And so on that note, I want to ask you, remember, I mean, most people won't realize or care, but They moved this. It was Unreal Engine for the original trilogy, and they moved over to their own in-house Frostbite. So, Does it still feel like it looks and feels like Mass Effect, even with the technology change?
I mean, it looks. It's hard to say. It feels like a new game. It really does.
That's good.
It's been a long time since Mass Effect 3. There are definitely elements of the HUD and the way that the ships look that. In design, I guess design's the right word, definitely taken from previous things we've seen in Mass Effect. So it's consistent in art style is what I would say. But it does look very different. And, you know, one of the things that I particularly liked is those planets that I went to looking dramatically different, I think is so important. Mm-hmm. They didn't so much, you know, in Mass Effect 1, the planets and the environments you see it kind of forgettable, but
right.
There's a planet that you go to in Andromeda that has floating pillars, has like green and red, there's random things of lightning that just spark out of these rocks everywhere. Like, it's just, there's so many things that you just wouldn't imagine, and then sort of in the middle of it, there's just this tree and you don't know why it's there. And it's just all of these different things that are pieced together, whereas I feel like I keep thinking of Destiny and being like, you know, I wanted the planet variety so badly in that, and it felt like the same kind of thing, just reskinned right. a lot. Mm-hmm. This totally feels like different places completely.
So it feels like a, like you're in a big universe then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's all. Yep. See, that, and that's a big sort of almost unspoken thing that I want out of Mass Effect.
Right.
Is for so it to feel, because that's one reason, you know, a lot of people, everybody has their own favorite Mass Effect. A lot of people choose two. Two is my least favorite because oh, wow. for me, part of that is two feels the least vast. Mm. You know, the Citadel is like two hallways.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just a lot of more corridor action, and that's what I loved about one, and three brought some of that back. So that makes me really happy to hear.
It definitely feels vast. And the things that I really like Mass Effect for are the world building, and especially how subtly that is done. I don't think that's quite as subtle in Andromeda. I think some of the dialogue is very blatant. It's like, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. Instead of having you piece it together really slowly, that's only based on like the first hour or so, though it could completely fix that off right. the introductory parts. And then, I also really like weird aliens and learning things about those, and that is absolutely present as well.
Nice.
The combat is generally my least favorite part of Mass Effect games, and I don't know how much combat this is going to have, but I did only really do it on one planet. The other planets, I didn't shoot anything at all, and what is there for the combat is fun, for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what are you doing when you're not shooting?
Talking to people?
Just like falling in love with aliens?
Yeah,
how's the,
quote, how's the quote, good banging?
I didn't get to do any banging, yeah.
Whose quote is that?
That's no, the developer.
Pretty good banging.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good banging.
Okay.
I didn't get to do any of that, but, you know, I did have a lot of conversations with the aliens on my ship, and one thing that was really cool is two of them discussed their religion, and we just had, like, civil disagreements. Like, it was like, yeah, I don't agree with that, but I guess having a diverse array of religions, like there was just a conversation that I kind of accidentally came across where right. they were arguing about the existence of a god, and I was like, this is the kind of stuff that I want to talk about aliens, like this is what I want to talk to these people about. And it was cool. There was some really interesting insight there.
Really cool.
Yeah. To dial back to your question about what you do on planets, I should mention the scanner. There's this new thing called a scanner that you have with you from the very very start of the game, and you have to scan things for research data, which is shortened to RD. That is what you use to craft things, and the crafting okay. in Andromeda is pretty extensive. You can craft Wait. Armor, and you can craft weapons, and you have to basically buy blueprints, which all have different rarities, as bronze, silver, and gold, obviously gold being the rarest of those. Mm-hmm. There might even be more beyond that I didn't see. And then you buy which blueprints you want, and then you craft the items that you want, which you get using the research data, but also items that you will just generally loot. Across
can I make a space shotgun that shoots knives?
So the stuff that you can make in terms of weapons, I just wish I had more time with it
yeah.
because there is so much stuff that it's like you can turn a shotgun into a grenade launcher, but it's still a shotgun. Like it's like you can basically mash.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
You can mash like any two weapon types together. I don't even know how it's going to work. It's crazy. It seems like you'll be able to do so much stuff, whereas the armor seems to be more catered to just like a damage boost if you're on low health or that kind of stuff, which I'm totally going to mess around with a lot. Didn't seem like there was a whole lot of aesthetic options. I really like being able to color coordinate. Didn't seem like there was a ton of those options, but there was just so much stuff you could make, and each of the weapons, I think if it's a gold blueprint, you get three augmentation slots, meaning three like different kinds of stat
right.
boosts or
yeah.
whatever. So yeah, there's tons of stuff you can do. It's I think every single thing that you find will be able to be used towards something. You will never just have an inventory full of stuff you don't need.
So I think the couple more questions our audience needs to know about Mass Effect, since it's finally the first time anybody's gotten to play it, is how, you know, there's no more Paragon and Renegade mm-hmm. system, that sort of black and white, light side, dark side, good, evil dialogue. How did the dialogue feel in terms of if you wanted to be rude, or if you wanted to be nice, or did, you know, how is the dialogue system? And then the class system. BioWare's kind of made a big deal about, well, there is a class system, but you can kind of reallocate and change your sort of skill set on the fly. What did you get to play around with there?
Well, we can talk about the class system first, because there has been quite a bit of info about that online already. Some of you might have seen it. You can pick a class, and it just gives you like a really small initial boost to something. It might give you an item, like a drone. It just does something really minimal. But beyond that, seemed kind of pointless, in that I could still... You have three skill trees, which is tech, biotics, and combat, and I could put my skill points into any of those at any point in time. So it's like, well, I get the
Diablo 3 effect.
Yeah, like Dark Souls. Dark Souls, yeah. You roll a starting class, but within 5 or 6 levels, you could just be whatever you want.
That's pretty much exactly what it's like, yeah, which gives you a lot of flexibility, but at the same time, I didn't see the benefits or flaws of that system. Like, I don't know how far that's going to evolve beyond what it is.
Yeah, I don't mind that, because I feel like one of the weird things in Mass Effect 1 is right from the get-go, you choose one of the 6 classes, and you look at them, you're like, well, I don't really understand this yet, because I haven't played the game, and you're sort of locked into that without being able to make an educated decision on your first run through.
I mean, I got screwed on that by not knowing to level up my charm.
Yeah, you obviously charm and fitness, and that's why you had Ashley, and I had a wonderful Ashley. By the way, how is she?
I didn't see Ashley.
This game is very far in the future, isn't it?
Yes.
She's probably
fine. She may be dead.
Don't say that.
Oh, dang.
Maybe. It's like 600 years after
cryostasis, Ryan.
She's probably dead, but...
Don't say that.
Yeah, I didn't see any
She's
flaws
probably
in that
600
system.
Years old somewhere.
Nice.
I didn't see any flaws in that system. I didn't see any real perks either. I guess it's good that it seems very flexible, so you can really do whatever you want. And then... My favorite thing about Mass Effect Andromeda from what I played so far is the changes to the Paragon and Renegade system. So instead of...
Go on!
Instead of having just sort of good and bad points, you approach dialogue and you have the option to answer something rationally or emotionally a lot of the time. I'm sure there will be more than just those two things, but answering something emotionally can be compassionate or heartfelt or angry, and then answering it rationally would be, you know, rational and logical. So... Instead of basically giving you this system where it's like you are good or you are bad, it gives you a lot more gray area. And there is a counter that basically is a personality stat sheet. So what you're doing when you're making dialogue choices is actually choosing the tone and personality of your character rather than just whether they were a jerk 10 times or whether they were nice 10 times. So I think I think this is a great evolution of that mechanic.
Do you know what you're going to say, or is it literally just like you choose an emotion? And
no,
then you get
it's
a
the same as Mass Effect 1, where, you know, you get a line,
you get an
but
idea.
The character doesn't say the line.
Sure, but you're like, I know what's going to happen.
Yes, it's exactly like that. Yeah, which I really like. And I'm excited to see how, as I kind of said before, there's a lot of sort of banter in combat and characters talking to each other. And I'm wondering if, as I am shaping my character through choosing emotional or rational dialogue options, if eventually... If eventually that will change how my character talks when I'm not controlling things.
Yeah, that's cool. It'll
be really interesting.
I like that.
Yeah.
So to sum up, it sounds like it is very clearly a new game, but... For the most part, from where it seems like it's heading in some very promising new directions.
Yeah, there's some stuff that I really like, some stuff that I don't like so much. But right now, the way that I feel about everything is that, you know, I don't know yet. I would really have to play more, and this is obviously going to be a huge game.
Yeah.
And one thing that I do have to mention that could totally change on release is that it was very, very, very buggy. Had multiple crashes, some really bad visual glitches. You know, things where a line of dialogue was supposed to be delivered and wasn't, so I was just stuck on a screen and couldn't exit out of that screen.
You know,
it is pre-release, though.
Yeah, and they got a month ago. You're allowed to say what you were playing on?
We were playing on PCs. PC. Yeah. I don't know what kind, but...
They were packing some heat, those PCs. Yeah,
they were solid, but, you know, it was pre-release, obviously, so it's, you know, the code's not done yet, but there were devs kind of over my shoulder. I would be like, hey, this happened. They'd be like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, ooh, that's concerning. So hopefully it doesn't release like that, but I really wanted to mention it because it's this one time I previewed Assassin's Creed Unity and decided not to actually write a preview because it was so broken, and it's like, it came out broken. I should have written that preview. So now I just kind of feel like I should always address
I mean, it's, you know, you can be honest about what we saw. You know, it's not the final thing. It could tighten up, but as it was presented to us.
Yes.
It was, it had some,
it was very hard,
some rough around
the
edges.
We've all played plenty of games that both things happened in the last month.
Oh, yeah.
Either the last month, it's 25th hour, everything comes together,
yep,
and the game's amazing,
yep,
or 25th hour, it's like, well, nope, this
yeah,
is it.
So, it could absolutely yeah, be either way.
Excellent.
Yeah, overall, you know, we're going to have a bunch more coverage up.
Yes, plenty more to come from Mass Effect Andromeda. We've got, yeah, we've got like a month to,
yeah,
yeah,
to pack in and see what kind of coverage we can cook up. So, yeah.
You see any Krogans?
Yeah.
That's cool. Krogans.
Big fan.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good talk.
And on a good note there. All right. News-wise, there's not a lot. Marty, slow week, my friend.
Yes, it's a very slow week.
I heard it was a slow week on your PlayStation podcast well, as well.
Yeah, well, we got to talk about Horizon for 45 minutes.
So well, we're not going to do that.
No.
But what I did want to talk about, this was classic unlocked scenario, happens every time. We thought maybe 2017 was going to be different there for a little while.
No,
not at all. We had to record on Tuesday last week because reasons, and then the show published. We held it for Thursday at like 12:01 a.m.
because
of the Halo Wars 2 embargo. So there was that gap between when we recorded and when we published it. And sure enough, we missed this. And that is, Microsoft decided to move their E3 press conference from its usual Monday morning, 11 a.m. No, 9:30 a.m. slot. It ends
I wish
at
it was 11 a.m. Yeah.
That'd be great.
They moved instead to Sunday, the same day as Bethesda. They're going to be at 2 p.m. Pacific. So if you are curious to watch that, you might not need to request time off from work if you work a Monday to Friday situation. But this was they didn't really provide a reason per se, any sort of particular explanation. Just said, hey, mark your calendars, we're moving.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is why?
You wrote the answer here. They're
no, I wrote a theory. There's the fanboy theory, but yeah, there's the you know, we of course want to go dig deeper than the fanboy theory.
What if they just had trouble renting a venue on Monday morning? They were just like, oh wow, I guess
the Galen Center isn't available Monday morning.
That's a shame. Yeah. Yeah. There's a cutlery conference, so we're going to have to move to
C3?
Sunday.
Oh no. Like everything comes down.
To put this into context, for the past couple of years, Bethesda has had, I guess, yeah, Bethesda's had the Sunday night slot.
Yes.
And then Monday was Microsoft in the morning, followed by EA, followed by Ubisoft, and then Sony capping it off at night.
Correct.
And then the following morning would be Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
This year, it's spread out over many more days because we have EA and EA Play on Saturday.
Yep, don't remind me.
I'm reminding you. Thanks. You run previews.
I know it's my job. Please. It's only February.
And as of Sunday right now, we have Microsoft and Bethesda, and then we don't know when Ubisoft and Sony are going to do theirs. We assume it's the same, but maybe it's not. But a good theory is that so Microsoft gets all the headlines from 9 in the morning to 11 in the morning, and then 2 hours later, Battlefield, Battlefront, Mirror's Edge,
Mass Effect
gets announced, and then 2 hours later, Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs and all that stuff gets announced, and then at the end of the night, Sony, for the past few years, has had a really great conference, and so they show stuff, granted stuff we're not going to play for many years, but stuff like God of War and Spider-Man and Death Stranding, so I feel like it's one of those things that by the end of the day, certain people have just forgotten what Microsoft showed because you've been just inundated with media all day.
Yeah.
And this gives them room to breathe.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I really think that's it. I mean, I know there'll be some people that want to spin it a certain way, but I really agree with you. Cause if you look, I'm always curious every year with Xbox, how long does their stuff trend on social media until last year it was, or whatever year, maybe it was 2 years ago when Sea of Thieves was announced. It was like Sea of Thieves and Cuphead were the last two that were still trending as the EA conference had started, and then they eventually tailed off. But I just think you're totally right. It's, you know, Microsoft goes on and hey, for the last few years, they've put on a really nice show, right? They haven't necessarily, you know, pulled out any crazy surprise bring the roof down announcements, but they've shown such a really solid lineup of games for the last few couple of years.
They had a car on their stage this year. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that every year now.
They do that every year.
So,
by the time, even the afternoon, but of course, by the time you get to Sony 6 hours later, it's, well, oh, look what Sony's just taken over all the headlines. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think this is just a way for them to keep a news cycle.
Absolutely.
Just hang on to a news cycle.
It's smart and it's easy.
Are they announcing Scorpio at E3?
We don't know. As of now, yes. We haven't heard of there being any pre-E3 Scorpio event. It could happen. You know, that happened with Xbox One.
Yeah,
that happened with PS4. Yeah, there could be something in May for all we know. But as of now, we assume that
it's... So a theory I thought of is Bethesda's the only publisher that was before them. But... You know, and now they're before every publisher.
Except EA.
EA,
oh, so they're still after EA.
Yes, okay. EA is Saturday.
My thoughts were possibly if they do have Scorpio things to announce that then get baked into the Bethesda conference and
or into the Ubisoft
conference, they would have to go way first to announce that. It's kind of like Watch Dogs getting announced before PS4 was announced. And it was like, here's Watch Dogs. It looks beautiful.
They said next gen for that, I think.
Right. But it's like they couldn't like say the consoles, right? And it's like, we all know Scorpio is a thing. They announced it at E3 last year. But it's like, if they want to be able to say, you know, if
this is running on Scorpio,
here's Prey, and this is Prey running on Scorpio. Yeah. They can't say that if the Scorpio hasn't been announced yet.
That's a really great idea.
That's a great point.
I can totally imagine, I mean, whatever Scorpio is called, that demos during Bethesda and during Ubisoft are going to have little, like, lower thirds that say powered by Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to look really good because it's going to be running on more powerful hardware.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Strong call, because then, if at Bethesda that night, if they show Wolfenstein
or Evil Within,
it could be here, and it's running on the Xbox, whatever its official name is.
Right, right.
So
that was just my theory. Ahead of all of the publisher news.
You know what, Mark? You can stay. I like you better than Destin.
Oh, dang.
Sorry, Destin. That's all it took. That's all it took.
I also really hope their entire run of show doesn't leak beforehand like it did last year, because that made it
less exciting. That was really unfortunate.
Well, we read it and we were like, well, this can't be it. And then like three announcements in, we're like, all right, this is absolutely it. Yeah. We just had all our news stories prepped.
So brutal.
Yeah. And it just it takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, it's...
And most people didn't see it, obviously.
Of course.
Like, we had to look at it because we were like, well, this helps us get our coverage up faster. Yeah. So don't do that.
Like the Final Fantasy release date, like...
Stuff like that.
Dang. it's really sad.
Don't worry, it wasn't the real release date.
I know.
True.
Classic Greg and Tim.
Bethesda, after Microsoft announced theirs, Bethesda did semi-snarkily tweet, Sunday before E3, getting busy. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Bethesda E3 showcase will still be Sunday PM. Details soon.
Bethesda, creators of Sunday.
I like how you say semi-snarkily. No, that's super snarky. This is incredibly snarky. You're like,
That was written by Todd Howard. It's crazy.
Oh. Well, it could be that like they did
snarkiest man alive.
He's not doing anything else.
No. They were the ones who were like, well, let's go before everyone else because that gives us so much time in the spotlight. And then someone goes before them and they're like, damn it.
Well, he is going super before everyone else
now.
That
is true. Yeah. Super before.
What if Sony just does Friday?
I would hate
that's
that.
That's super
would be
duper
terrible.
Before.
Why? No, it'd be awesome if everything was spread out.
E3 just keeps getting longer.
I know. E3 starts in June now. Like June 1st is E3 month.
Yeah.
No. Pretty much.
Not doing it.
You I'm sort not. Of have to. It's hard. Right, it's yeah. your job.
Yeah, stop reminding
your most,
me of that.
It's probably
we need
your most important week.
No.
I feel like if any of us just say we're not doing it during E3, that's a quick firing.
Didn't E3 used to be like 3 days?
Yeah.
Officially. Now it's
well, it still is. It's actually
technically
shorter.
It starts,
what, Tuesday, right?
E3 is officially shorter. It used to go officially to Friday.
Mm. So now it's officially
now
just
it's
Tuesday
officially
Wednesday, Thursday.
To Thursday. Huh. But the unofficial days have lengthened it such that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Also open to the public this year.
Yeah. We're stoked about that. We're hopefully going to...
Still haven't sold out other tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, wow.
That's I thought the 15K would go up. Right away.
Not a great sign.
Yeah. I was just surprised because, like, PAX tickets like, get scooped up so quickly, and PAX has
true.
A ton more people. So.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if people are just, like, I could buy a ticket to what they know is, at the end of the day, an industry event. And they're just like, you know, where it's like PAX is like meant for
consumers. I don't think they did a good job of saying what you get with the ticket.
Yeah.
Fair point.
It's also really expensive.
Also, $250 puts you, like, a hefty chunk into a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Yep. Or gets you a ton of games on anything else.
How much is a PAX ticket?
It's like 100.
Yeah, it probably is the price. Because yeah. I've seen people saying, you know, they'd love to go, but they also can't get the flights and the hotel and all that stuff to get there.
Also, I imagine hotels are crazy expensive during E3.
Well, yeah. we warned people. Was it last week's show that hotels during E3 anywhere in LA, like anywhere even remotely close to downtown, huge nightmare.
Also, watch out for Airbnbs if you think that's the trick, canceled. Because they cancel them because most people realize, oh, that's E3 week. I'm renting out for super cheap. So then they cancel it and they jack their prices up because whoever's renting their house out or whatever doesn't realize that it's E3 week. I'm going to put this on the ground.
Please do. rattle that glass table. For those of you who are attending, we're going to hope to figure out some way to have an official meetup, hang out with you guys. Yep. I've heard from plenty of people on Twitter that are super excited to try and get together with us, and I'm sure we will figure that out.
That'll be awesome.
In the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said you're not going to do it. You're not going to do E3.
I'm not going to do it on Friday.
Okay.
That's,
you refuse?
I will show up.
You refuse?
I'll be there for the Microsoft conference on Sunday.
You're not going to do E3? You're not going to do E3?
If my boss tells me to, I got to do what I got to do. That's the life.
I'm excited.
I don't complain. It's fun. I'll tell you, I still love E3 every year.
Same dude.
Every year.
E3 is going to be a good E3, I think.
I've been lucky enough. I think I've done 12 or 13 of them.
Oh my lord.
Something like that. I think this will be 13 or 14 for me, and it's the unwrapping your presents on Christmas morning when you're
E3
a kid.
Rules. It's so exciting.
It's so great. It's I mean, yeah, it's especially the older I get, it's tiring and it's you know, it's exhausting, but gosh, it's so much fun. And you get to see, you know, you get to see in our case like game developers that maybe had shipped something that like last year I got to see Ralph Fulton, who, you know, I hadn't seen since Horizon 2, and here he was coming around with Forza Horizon 3, and yeah, it's just E3 is awesome, and I'm stoked for everybody who's getting to go for the first time.
Well, and everyone's always talked about like the atmosphere and the war room, and I experienced it for the first time last year, and it's pretty much undescribable. Like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, so
like just having all your friends just be like, oh.
That's where we do all our work out of for E3. So it's like basically this IGN hub that we rent out in LA where, you know, there's people just writing previews, and we watch all the live streams in there and just people being excited and clapping and cheering. And it's a very cool environment.
That's the week that really puts the enthusiast in enthusiast media for us, I think, more than any other week.
Totally.
It's great.
Mm. We actually, at our 20th anniversary party, gave someone the opportunity to come
oh, that's
us?
Right.
Yeah, the guy who won the Mario Maker thing.
Yeah. He's going to be Fran's personal assistant
so
at E3 this year.
He'll get to see the war room and all that
Why
stuff.
Why did he win a contest and then get punished?
I don't know how that, how we hoodwinked him on that one. But
yeah, that's cool.
Carrying around Fran's hair products. It's going to be
several of them.
Interesting.
Have fun getting to the airport with that.
It's like a trench coat of opened up instead of watches.
Just various lengths of
combs.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he fixes his hair multiple times a day?
Yes, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Have you seen the coif on that man? It is well.
Yeah, it is pretty
well taken care of.
He did. Yeah.
You guys, you still with me?
Yeah, we're
still
here.
With me over there. The only real other interesting news item of the week is the Payday 3. I must have missed the announcement of this. I mean, it is a super successful, it's become a super successful series. This is one of those where I've always wanted to play this, but just haven't.
But you've never played Payday?
I haven't played them.
Oh, Payday 2 is great.
I know, yeah, they're just four-player co-op heist.
There's still a lot of people playing that online.
And I know it's on Xbox, it's on PC, it's on everything. But yeah, Payday 3 is well underway. The CEO of Starbreeze went so far as to say that Payday 3 will, quote, enjoy as much time as we deem needed for development and, quote, will be done when it's done. He went on to note that Payday is the company's single most important brand today and the cornerstone of our business, and we will treat it accordingly. So it's great to hear that they seem to have realized what they've got on their hands, and they're just going to take their sweet time and make the best Payday possible.
You guys reckon it'll be a full-player co-op heist game?
Hope so.
Do you think they're going to have a booth right at the front of E3? Literally
year.
Every E3
every
event.
Year,
they're
yeah.
the very first thing when you just
well,
like by the escalator
in the one hall.
On the one hall. Yeah.
I can never remember. I've been there 14 times. I can't remember which hall's which.
It rotates every year.
That
like,
would be
they're on a E3 like the convention center is actually on a Lazy Susan.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why
they're
people
just
get
messing with
that's
you,
why right? people get nauseous sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. Is Lazy Susan offensive? I probably shouldn't say that.
That's a sorry, it's furniture. Well, isn't
that's
it?
My called, mom. Right?
Yeah.
That's how you classic pass. That's how you pass the ketchup.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you are a fan of Payday, know that it is well underway and being well cared for. So we'll keep an eye out for that one. And hopefully I'll get this will be the one I actually get a shot to play.
I totally mm-hmm. should.
I will. I'll make a point to
you
play
have to
it.
Play day it.
Hey.
It's really cold.
Should
in
I
here.
Play day it on payday?
Just throwing that out there.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, right. What's happening, Arthur Fonzarelli?
Hey.
Stop it. Everyone stop it.
Hey.
You know there's a bronze statue of the Fonz in downtown Milwaukee? It's very strange.
Really?
Gonna,
that is strange.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump over that on a motorcycle.
Oh no!
next time I'm in town.
See, that's where you should go. You should see the bronze statue. There's snow there.
Okay, I'll go there.
Okay, good.
And you could just take a quick trip and visit Raven and mm-hmm. Is Human Head still up there?
Yeah.
And
I feel like you could hook that up, Ryan.
I could.
You would be one of my, good person to do.
I mean, one of my best friends works at Raven.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Done. Cool.
See?
Sounds good.
It's all set all right. for
hey.
You.
Stop it.
Let's move along. I'm going to go to Mark Medina. Mark,
what
can we spend our money on this week? Marketplace report down here.
We didn't plan this. Halo Wars 2, Ryan McCaffrey.
Yes.
Is out on Xbox out One and PC.
We talked about that last week.
So our review up? Dan review?
Final score's up 7.
Give it a 7.
Yeah.
I've played it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
James Duggan has played it way more than me. I don't know if he likes it that much.
Sounds like a James Duggan thing.
It does, right? Actually. He plays a lot of games that he doesn't necessarily like that much.
Yeah. But I played it. It was pretty fun. I like RTSs. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I gave you my thoughts on it last week. It's good stuff. It's fun.
Rest in peace.
It's good. It's Westwood. A nice change of pace for Halo.
For digital, Zombie Vikings for $12. Shift Happens.
As it sometimes it does.
It does.
Shift does happen.
For $15. Yeah. Vaccine for $10.
That actually is an appealing game name to me.
Jenny McCarthy won't be playing that game.
We made a vaccine joke this week on Beyond. What? What? We even brought up Jenny McCarthy.
I mean, she
it wasn't. Like it was somewhere. Totally. Max made the exact same joke because the game's going to PSN.
Oh.
I mean, what does it say about Jenny McCarthy where. When you hear her name, that's the first thing you think. You don't think Incredible. Of Playboy. You don't think of her television appearances and her television roles.
Her short-term marriage to Tom Green.
Her vaccine stance.
Oh, yeah. She's anti-vaccine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
She's not a fan.
Typo Man for $13. I've never heard of this game.
It looks
until
good.
I've seen some video footage of it. And I'm like,
game's pretty cool. Okay. Yeah, I previewed it at PAX a couple Seems years cool. ago.
And then Vertical Drop Heroes HD. It's in high def now, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Better than low def.
Finally.
Yeah. I think we're going to start a thing soon where we're getting codes for all these games early. So we're going to actually play a little bit of them. And so I could do more things than just make fun of their names.
Right.
Okay. I will still make fun of their names. But I will do that.
Yeah, we reserve that right.
But,
sure.
But I will also
may mention something.
I really like the name Vaccine because that makes me think of...
Plague Inc.
I just want to know what kind of game it is. Like what... Anybody? No? Okay.
Well, I think the board game is called Outbreak or
Pandemic?
Might be Pandemic.
Oh,
that I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
it makes me think of.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever played? What a good studio
Plague
that was.
Inc. Yeah, right. Plague Inc.
Yeah.
It's a mobile game where you are pretty much maintaining a virus and growing it so that in hopes of killing everyone in the world.
Oh,
it's like a map of the world and you're like upgrading the virus.
I've seen screenshots of that.
It's pretty cool.
I like those kinds of games.
Yeah. This is the good version of that. Vaccine. This is what happens. You play through Plague Inc.
This is
and
the
then
sequel.
The sequel, Vaccine.
You heal everyone.
Yeah.
Plague
Anything
Inc.
else
2
out there,
vaccine.
Mark? What's on the marketplace? Games with gold?
Oh, we keep going.
Keep going, okay. My friend. This part of the show, it's all you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. I made a video about this. Okay, so let's see. Available all of February on the Games with Gold is Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time. Really weird game, but it's pretty fun.
Marty
Sounds
likes it.
Cool,
I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, it was really fun. Let's see here. February 16th through March 15th, we have Project Cars Digital Edition. The game's really pretty.
Yeah, if you like them race cars.
Yeah. The music between the menus is really good, too, surprisingly. It's very weird.
There you go.
Monkey Island 2
that's
Special
done.
Edition. Oh, that's
yeah,
done.
Done.
We're done. Sorry, Monkey Island. And then Star Wars The Force Unleashed, which is the game I was playing to make this video, and I had no less than... 10 people stop by my desk saying, why are you playing at Star Wars The Force Unleashed?
Now we know.
It's for work.
Yeah. And we just had March, just today before we went on the air, March's Games with Gold got announced.
Oh, yeah. They sure did. I've yet to make this video.
Get a head start.
It's coming, guys. Layers of Fear, available all of March. Evolve, Ultimate Edition. Vince likes that game. That's not till the 16th through the 15th. Borderlands 2 is for the first half of March. It's a great game. And Heavy Weapon for the last half of March. I don't know what
that is. Yeah, I don't know what that is either, but it's a pretty solid lineup.
It's a solid, it is. Yeah. That's good.
Layers of Fear is a survival horror game.
I have played Layers of Fear. I think Chloe reviewed that, didn't like it so much. Mm-hmm. I didn't finish it, but I did find elements of it really scary. It's you play kind of a mad artist.
Mm-hmm.
Who,
right.
Sort of has like an artist block, and it's sort of like the wall around you seems to decay in response to you not being able to get through this. It feels like Dorian Gray.
It's like a psychological horror game,
it
right?
It is. I liked what I played of it. And Evolve, I really wonder if that's still active.
Well, that's I was just going to say, hopefully, with it being free in the second half of March, that'll spike the player base. And if it's free, people can hop in, give it a try.
Well, it went free to play for PC months ago.
Yep. Yes.
And I think they saw a spike. So I'm wondering,
I should hope so.
But then it never went free for consoles. I think it was like a planned thing that they ended up
should have always been free
doing
to play.
I'm wondering if you're going to see a little jump because...
Yeah.
Good and stuff.
Borderlands 2, obviously. People like it. It's
sure.
good.
Why not?
Pretty good. Let's
you can get the Handsome Collection, but this is free.
There actually, I was at Toy Fair over the weekend. There are actually a bunch of Borderlands figures coming out. And it was.
Have they not had them yet?
I believe they have. Yeah, they definitely have.
The Claptrap robot.
But,
yeah, I remember.
I think it's cool.
McFarlane. Yeah, I have that.
I know. I was going to steal it from you at the Christmas thingy.
We do a Christmas thing where we give gifts, and you can steal them from each other twice. But
I was going for the robot, and I think that
was the most expensive thing in the room.
Oh, definitely.
So I was pretty happy that I got that. But I also really wanted that plush dog that was the This Is Fine dog.
That thing was hot. Did Jobert end up with that?
Who?
No, Kalila.
Kalila. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay.
She got it. Someone stole it, and then she stole it back.
Right. That was me who stole it.
Oh, yeah.
My bad.
All right. Well, that's the game. That's the game. Let's talk about Christmas. Unlock Block Trivia.
Okay.
Mark, chance for you to get on the board where these two have not even managed to do so all year.
Shut up.
So
every time you guys come out of recording, Destin talks about how he cheats.
As soon as he looks at this, he looks up the answer.
I'd like to note that I took a little extra editorial care in my random searches this week because Marty, you yourself requested.
Yeah, I requested a banjo question. I knew.
Yeah,
and you provided me with a banjo question. I didn't.
What does banjo collect?
Does that mean the next time we get a modern question? Because these are all for old people.
You love banjo.
I do.
You have no excuse.
But I was
neither
so
one
young when it came out.
But we played it like a year ago.
This is a question about the game being in early development when I would have been
a true banjo fan would know the full history.
That's fair.
Of banjo. And so Justin Walker should already be just stoked because he's got you fighting each other. You're arguing amongst yourselves.
No, we argue all the time.
Over his banjo question.
You're sitting near us.
China.
We argue constantly.
Justin Walker from Philadelphia, he's going to win himself a video game courtesy of, one of a few different people, either his fellow Unlock listeners, or there's a copy of Dishonored 2 up for grabs that Albert Menefee IV kindly donated, and the developers, Rebellion, of Sniper Elite 4. I've got like two more codes for that. We gave one away last week. So, Justin, you've got your choice. We'll be in touch. And Justin asks this Banjo-Kazooie question for the three of you here. Mm. In Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo has a sister named Tootie. However, in early development, she had a different name. Which of the following was her original name? Was it Starry, Clarinet, Madeline, or Piccolo? Marty, you've already been raging that you don't know.
No, I'm angry.
Mark, any idea?
As the world's biggest Banjo-Kazooie fan, which I'm certainly not. 100% not. I've played it. like once. I went with D, Piccolo.
Okay. Any logic there or just a guess? What do you say?
None at all. I don't know. For some reason, I can see it on the screen. And that's what I'm going with.
All right. So you're just a vision.
So, yes. It came to me.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to be real scared if that's the right answer.
Alana, I'm going to go your way now.
I'm going with A, Starry.
Okay. Marty?
I'm also going with D, Piccolo, because banjo and kazooie are named after instruments.
Okay.
And they're named after the instruments they play in the opening.
Okay.
And I believe 2D is playing a piccolo in the opening cutscene.
My logic was that they would change it from Starry because it was not an instrument. Like, they like codenamed a Starry, and then we're like, oh, that's the only one that's not an instrument, so we better change it.
Oh, so they change it to that classic 2D.
If it ends up being Piccolo, that is the same logic I went with, whatever Marty said.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Medina, you are a smart man.
Damn
Marty
it.
As well. It is, in fact, D, Piccolo. So, well done. You're both on the board.
Wait, hold on. So, I'm tied with Marty.
Yes.
You are tied with Marty.
Sweet. In 3 months when I'm back, hopefully we're still tied.
Man, I've had a rough 3 months.
Well, it has been nearly two months.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff, everybody. Thank you to Justin Walker for infuriating the panel, but ultimately leading them to some sound logic that, at least in Marty's case, was the correct way to go.
Well, the thing, Ryan, is in the opening, they're all playing instruments of what their name is.
Oh. Yeah.
And so I figured, you know, 2D is playing a piccolo.
Right.
He's clearly playing a 2D. I didn't know that a piccolo was an instrument.
Really?
Doesn't everybody have to play those in elementary school?
No, we call those recorders.
We played recorders.
We call those recorders as well. That's what a piccolo is.
The little three-piece thingy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, we also
play. You have to, like, and then you have to dip the reeds and like some alcohol solution
mine
to get all your
mine didn't have a reed.
That was the start of my germ problem.
Mine didn't have a reed. Mine was just
plastic. That's a clarinet.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. The little mouthpiece.
That is a clarinet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, what are you putting reeds in your instruments? Why?
Give me a break. It's been a long time since I've been in elementary school. I'm old. Okay. Let's leave.
Okay.
Let's end on a low note, as we like to do every week.
Talking about, we got a point.
That's true.
Oh, great.
I like you're stiffing up. Yes.
I feel so good.
Feeling you're going to walk out of here standing tall. IGN Prime, you can subscribe to that, help keep the lights on, and get yourself an ad-free IGN experience. Give us $30 for a year, and we'll give you no ads and some other beta codes and all other fun digital things. So go to IGN.com/Prime if you're interested in that. Marty,
yes.
What else? There's some cool thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, next week's huge, just in general, with GDC and the Switch launching and Logan and Horizon coming out and all that. But one of the things I'm most excited about is Monday, the 27th, from noon to 5 p.m. Pacific time, we're holding this really super awesome live stream that we're calling Save Point. We're partnering with the folks at it's Frank Cifaldi and Steve Lin, and they're sort of launching a Patreon crowdfunding campaign for video game preservation, which means they have builds of canceled games, rare games,
that's
unreleased
so
games, preview builds of games that are different than the games that were released, special edition consoles that they only made five of.
I wish I'd kept my review build of NBA Elite 11.
Oh, they have a boxed copy of NBA
Elite
that they're bringing out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is insane that there is a boxed copy of a game that
got
canceled.
Made.
You reviewed the game.
I reviewed it 5 point something OXM.
And then it never came out.
That's so weird.
Which I probably overrated it, honestly, even in that.
But it's super cool. So for 5 hours, we're going to be doing let's plays of things that you've never seen before.
That's great.
Let's plays of a Zelda game you've never seen before.
The CDI one? Or is this
no, this is
something
different.
Else?
This is a Satellavision.
Oh, man.
Which is. We're going to go into what the hell a Satellavision was. It was a streaming service in the early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. And there is a Zelda game that no one's ever played before. And so Brian sat down and played about an hour.
That's cool.
This sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. There's a bunch of us at IGN going to be on, as well as a bunch of guests. Mary Kish, Alexa Ray Correa, Andrea Renee, Mike Mahardy, a bunch of developers. Just a ton of friends from across the industry are going to come in. And super cool.
So that's just going to be live on IGN.com.
IGN, YouTube.com/IGN.
Yep. And Twitch. Twitch.tv/IGN.
Yeah. We're pushing it really hard. And
what time?
It is noon to 5 p.m. on Monday.
Pacific time.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, but check it out. It's going to be really cool. You know, toss it a couple. If you think it's cool, toss the Patreon a couple bucks, because this allows them to, you know, the Patreon is going towards finding these things, preserving these things, ultimately building building a space. And like, this is the, like, one of
this
my
is our hobby.
This is our hobby. Like, this is the thing where, like, if these guys are given the proper funding, someday they might be able to get the preview build of Scalebound. You know,
yeah.
Someday they might be able to get the, you know, preview build of or whatever
True Fantasy
Legends
Live
was.
Online.
True Fantasy
or
Live Online.
Milo and Kate.
Yeah. Like, imagine if they were able to dig, like, whatever the hell Element OP was.
StarCraft Ghosts?
StarCraft
yeah,
Ghosts?
People in this office have played it. Goldfarb has played StarCraft
played
Ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah.
You played it. Yeah.
Very briefly.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. Check that out.
Love it.
It's really cool. Something I'm very proud of.
And, Marty, where can we find you? What are you up to?
At McBiggity. I've been up to this.
That's the thing he's up to.
That's it. That's all we need. Alana?
I'm also going to be on that thing, I think. And one exciting thing is that Marty and I are going to play Ukulele on Friday.
Yeah.
Mm. That's very exciting.
Nice.
We're going to play a couple hours of that.
So we'll be able to talk about that whenever the embargo's up.
Yes.
Maybe next week?
I think it's next
I believe
week.
It is next
are we
week.
Having a show next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the calendar.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm done losing my voice because I'm going to be doing a lot of talking next
week. Yeah, you're going to be filming a lot of
unfiltered. Hours worth, many hours worth.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Cool. other than that, I would totally just suggest that you check out the preview of Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes.
And for those in San Francisco, I'm actually DJing a GDC off the potty. If you want to come by, there's details of that on my social feeds.
Excellent.
You also had a bunch of cool toy stuff from Toy Fair.
Oh, yeah. I just got back from Toy Fair. We've been covering that all weekend. Tons of cool stuff. There's been a bunch of Overwatch. There's been a ton of Zelda toys. Lots of cool DBZ stuff. It's Portal stuff. Team Fortress. It's like
how about that Batman the Animated Series Batcave?
Yeah, we actually exclusively announced that one.
Yeah.
I really want to get an unboxing of that. It's awesome. There's also Destiny, and I think our highest performing article was these really, really creepy figures of Joker and Harley Quinn from Playout's Kai's line that just look terrifying. Really cool.
You saw that $10,000 Gjallarhorn.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, Gjallarhorn was sweet.
That was just a prototype. Everyone didn't read the part where I said that the full release. Like I wrote like a post that was like, this prototype of the Iron Gjallarhorn from Destiny is $10,000, but the full, like the final release version will be $149. Everyone's like, $10,000! I'm like, it's going to release for $149.
You have to keep reading. Get to the end of the article before you set it
just
on fire.
Just a sentence, it was like a tweet. People didn't even read the 140 characters. It was insane. Lord.
What can you do?
Yeah.
Mark Medina.
You can find me on Twitter at Mark_Medina. We love to talk about PlayStation stuff. I've been doing nothing but playing Horizon Zero Dawn. And we are eventually going to be able to post a ton of stuff. And so that is currently my week.
Yeah, you've been making a bunch of videos from that game.
But yes, Horizon Zero Dawn has been my life for about a week now. And I can't wait to show everybody all the cool videos we've made.
Excellent. You can find me on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. Speaking of unfiltered, a new episode went up today as we record. Ed Boon, the co-creator of Mortal Kombat and, of course, the director of both Injustice games. I got to go to his studio last month with Destin and Vince and got to sit down. We shot the interview in their motion capture studio. Fortunately, cool. I did not have to wear the skin-tight suit with the Velcro balls on it while I interviewed him.
That'd been kind
the
of
volume,
cool.
They call it.
Yeah.
They
I don't know why they call it that.
It could have turned you into a character during the interview.
Oh, have you ever been a video game character before?
My interview finisher? Just like drop the mic.
That would have been great.
Ryan wins.
Fight.
Flawless interview.
I really like the fact that on this episode we talked about Mass Effect, Injustice, and Destiny, and Destin wasn't here for any of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Bittersweet.
All right. So we'll see you guys next week. As always, keep it tuned to IGN for all things Xbox. Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.